Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ready for the top six at six?
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Or you want to hear the song? What do you want to do?
Can we do both?
Yeah, let's listen to the song. It is the 936th edition of a little something we call the Steve Cochran Show. We have on the program this morning Chuck Todd. We've got two Bradys, because two Bradys are better than one. Bill Brady and Pat Brady will both be on the program today. Our friend Eric Edelstein is not available. He's on a plane, and I have to insist he not take flights that interrupt the show. If he's going to come in here and be a guest every week for free, the least he can do is be a guest every week.
Exactly. Poor guy.
Dean Richards later. David Hochberg will try to teach you something about mortgages. And allegedly, Lourdes Duarte will show up.
Okay. I got a text this morning. Now, there was a lot going on last night with the storms. And you know she has to be at Channel 9 by 2 o'clock. She has to be in early today.
What's early?
9-ish.
Oh, that's a load.
Well, she'll be on the phone.
Okay, you know what? Great.
She's going to be on the
phone. Yeah, that's fine.
And she said in her text, I miss my Cochran.
Yeah, sure you do. Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
she said.
Yeah,
you see
okay.
it? You want to see the text?
No, I don't doubt you. Okay. I doubt her. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Ridiculous.
She loves you.
No, she doesn't. It's 6:13. Let's do the top six at six.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Your top six at six includes the desktop indoor weather station. Six caller wins it at 312-981-7200. All right, first, with his bill to repeal the Affordable Care Act in trouble, Mitch McConnell, Washington's happiest member of the Senate, and the Senate Majority Leader, raised the possibility of, this is crazy now, working with the Democrats. What?
What?
Now, he did say, look, we can either get this done or I'm going to have to work with Chuck Schumer. And then we won't be able to have everything we want. That's almost verbatim.
It's like a threat.
But think about that. Think about that. This is the leader of the Senate saying, if we don't do this all our way without talking to the other side, we're going to have to give them something. That's why we're in trouble. Right.
The nuclear option.
He's out of nuclear options.
It's gone.
We're going to nuke him. Then there's this. A White House warning succeeded in stopping a chemical weapons attack by the Syrian government. U.S. officials at least are taking credit for the same, saying this was not a White House thing. This was not a Trump thing. This was an all of us thing. Mm-hmm. We saw it coming. We saw the same place we hit before with, 60 Tomahawk missiles or so, where they were loading planes into a secret area that could be retrofitted with chemical weapons. And that's why we said, go ahead, try it. See how that works out. And they say they've shut it down. Mm-hmm. So what we thought was a White House political move, nope. Turns out it was bigger than that. At least that is the report from the administration this morning. And I'm going to out of paper. What's wrong with our paper, our fake paper sound? Why does it? There's do you have a sticky button or something, Jake? What the hell's going on in there?
There's no budget.
We don't have a budget for the sticky paper button?
Yeah.
All the paper in the state is gone, so it's lucky that Mike has what he has.
But that's a paper sound effect. Why is our paper sound effect not fire on time?
I don't know. Budget sound effects also sound effects.
That was the budget. Yeah. We just crumpled the budget.
They're affected,
it's all
too.
Impacted, yeah.
We'll get to that. President Trump accepted an invitation from Emmanuel Macaroni and Cheese of France to join Bastille Day celebrations next month. I'm concerned about this from a security standpoint, but from a photo op, it's going to be tremendous because you're going to see American soldiers walking side by side with French soldiers on Bastille Day down the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah.
And it should be very beautiful.
Sounds like this needs to be an entertainment story, too, with you and Dean later talking about some of the interviews.
In our incredible French accents?
Yeah, I think so. Well,
that's a good idea.
Great.
That's a good idea.
July 14th.
We broke this story yesterday. The largest concern for many Illinois residents, a lottery. The Illinois Lottery has stopped selling Powerball tickets after lawmakers failed to cut a new deal. So one more reason to leave the state.
And Mega Millions sales will cease on Friday.
Yeah. So you're going to have to leave the state to gamble, at least in regards to the lottery. We'll talk a lot about this in the Politics Hour after 7. Rauner and Madigan show no signs of budging on either side as the deadline nears. And I think Madigan yesterday wanted to take the day off again.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
And then Rauner said, no, if you don't have a deal by Friday at midnight, you're going to stay.
Everybody's staying.
Yep.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, that's one of the governor's powers that I hope he actually enacts. And then...
But wait, if the governor says stay and they don't stay, I mean, you can't physically tie Mike Madigan and the Democrats to the chair.
Might be the only way to keep
them
down.
What if they leave?
I think he could actually use the state police to go get them.
Yep, that's true. The cops can't go pick them up.
Yep. Yeah, there's no money. Can't do it.
Well, but we're not selling lottery tickets anymore, so we have money to pick up Mike Madigan.
There you go.
And Dave, you talked about this. Miguel Montero ripping on Jake Arrieta. How'd that work out for him?
Well, we kind of hinted at that yesterday morning, Steve, that it was not going to end well, and it didn't end well for Montero. The Cubs have moved on. They designated him for assignment.
Which means he's free to go.
Don't let the door hit you, basically.
And designated for assignment in baseball terms mean he just got fired.
Basically, yes. There are still some things that could happen. He could go to the minors, but he's going to try to hook on with another team. He tried to apologize. He did apologize. And Arrieta basically told him, thought things would be okay, but Cubs management did not feel that his comments lent themselves to harmony in the clubhouse.
When you get stolen on seven times?
Seven times.
Seven times in one game, and your answer is, yeah, the guy on the mound delivers the baseball too slow.
Yeah, that
everything starts with the guy on the mound.
Right.
And if his rhythm is slow because that's his way of being successful, then he gets to be slow. Right. You got to be better.
Right.
But wouldn't they give him a warning? I mean, I don't understand why.
You mean, write him up?
Well, yeah, at least give him a warning about,
well, remember, he spoke out after the parade last fall.
About playing time?
Just the way things had been handled. He wasn't happy. He came back. They thought the air had been cleared. But on top of that, now...
Well, you got to deliver. And if you fail seven times in your job, in their extenuating circumstances, that's fine. But at the major league level, you can't get stolen on seven times in one game.
No, you can't. And on top of that, Chris Bryant got hurt last night. Not what they need.
What's the story with Chris Bryant?
A mild to moderate ankle sprain, and he kind of just touched the third base bag after catching a pop-up, and all of a sudden he's limping and had to be helped off. But X-ray,
freak injury?
Well, I mean...
That was the weirdest thing ever. It looks like he just rolled his ankle stepping on the base.
Yeah, it was just one of those, like, you could do coming into the studio. Just coming up the step.
Right? Is that why I'm in pain?
Not that would ever happen.
I don't mean you, Steve. No. I mean just generic you.
One.
Yes.
Like one could do that, yes.
I get injured getting out of the car.
But they say X-rays were negative. He's going to miss a couple games. And they don't know if he might have to go on the disabled list. But
I'm on the permanent deal. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, bring you the top six at 6. Here's Mary.
But there's one guy on GM's Cochran show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
He's a Walk of Famer.
I need to know what Nick.
If I were to turn around, walk out of the studio, limp out of the studio, and go to the plaques behind me and Pioneer Court, I could stand on Nick. I mean, I wouldn't, Nick, but I could if I wanted to.
Well, I've been stood on before.
Have you been to your plaque lately? Have you visited your plaque?
I have not. I should see, but if you look over your left shoulder, it's right there.
You know what you might want to do is because I know you do the show upstairs, in the Nick Cave between two and five.
Is that now the official name?
I think it's a good name for
the
it.
The Nick Cave. I think that's a great name. I love that.
Live from the Nick Cave. but I think at least you should come down before you take the air and have a moment with you and your plaque, like maybe around 1:45.
Yeah. Okay. I will do that. That wouldn't seem too egotistical at all.
I don't know. It worked in my head. At 6:25, let's run through some movies. What's Baby Driver?
Oh, it's the best movie I've seen all year.
What?
It's writer director Edgar Wright's latest movie. Edgar Wright directed the Cornetto trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End. This is his latest movie, and it is extraordinary on every single level. It stars Ansel Elgort, who plays a character named Baby, who is a getaway driver and the best of his kind. But he works a little bit differently than most people. He constantly has earbuds in his head, and he's playing music on his iPad or whatever you call those.
Your iPhone.
Your iPhone, whatever it is. Yeah. He's constantly playing music, and that helps him drive better. So he gets involved with Kevin Spacey, who is this sort of underlord of the crime world, and he works robberies for him in order to pay off a debt to him. He has tinnitus in his ears, and in order to work, he needs to have music blasting as he's driving his getaway car. So here's the thing about this movie. It's a combination of phenomenal action, incredible car chases, great heists, great action, and it's a musical. And I mean that it's a musical there is constant music in it. The cars are basically choreographed. Every gunshot is choreographed to every beat of every song. And it is an extraordinary piece of cinema. I mean, extraordinary. The cast includes, I mentioned Kevin Spacey, and also includes John Hamm and Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx, by the way, best performance of his career. Easily by a mile.
How did this not have pre-buzz through the roof?
Well, it played a couple of festivals and it does have buzz. The problem is that when you release a movie like this, which I so encourage people to see this because 90% of the stuff that we get this summer and most summers are either tentpole movies, sequels, or remakes, which is the case every single weekend. And here comes this movie that is shockingly, beautifully original. That is a joy to watch cinematically. There are scenes in this movie, Steve, that were so beautifully done, that were so energetic, that leapt off the screen with such energy and power and music that it made me cry. Like, I watched this movie, and because of the skill of it and the absolute joy of the filmmaking and the incredible use of music, I teared up during this movie.
Is it funny at all? Is there comedy in this movie?
There is comedy in it, but it's mostly... It's hard to describe. There's funny stuff in it because Edgar Wright obviously makes comedies, so there's a lot of funny stuff in it.
So is this like what Get Shorty should have been?
Well, no, it's on a different level than that. I mean, I have to say that I've never seen a movie like this. Honestly, I'm not kidding. The action sequences, the heist scenes, the car chases, the foot chases, they are all choreographed to music. There is constant songs playing. There's one sequence in this movie. And, from your days as a DJ, Steve.
That's right.
You know the song Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Oh, of course.
Jam with the fantastic, yodeling in the middle of the song.
Right.
There is an 8-minute foot chase, car chase, heist sequence that is choreographed to Hocus Pocus. And it's one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen in my life.
So this is this is artistic. It's new. It's different. It's a very cool way to do stuff we've seen before, but to do it to make it look like it's never been done before. It sounds like Fast and Furious the musical.
Well, it's better than that. I got to tell
you. Well, everything's better than Fast and Furious.
No, but what you described is pretty much the way that you can describe this movie. It's never been done before. And again, I want to mention the incredible cast, John Hamm. The romantic story. It's also a wonderful romance. I didn't even mention that. Ansel Elgort and Lily James, he plays the getaway driver. She plays a waitress that he meets. And their relationship is very fable-like. And it feels like the movie actually feels like a fable, like it's a fairy tale.
Well, that's cool.
And this romance is also a big part of the movie. So there's also great romantic stuff in it. It is a great film, a film that I'm going to see repeatedly. And I hope people go and see it. I know that, you know, it gets lost in the shuffle with all these big budget sequels and stuff that are out. But this is the real deal. I mean, Edgar Wright is one of the best filmmakers working today. And this is a stunning, stunning, entertaining, awesome movie.
If you watch Silicon Valley, one of the funniest guys on the show, and it's a cool role because it's underplayed, is Kumail Nanjiani. And he and his wife have done a movie called The Big Sick. Is that right?
That's right. And he co-wrote it. And I'm going to see it this weekend. And I've heard nothing but great things about it. He plays kind of a version of himself. He plays a guy named Kumail, who is a Pakistani comedian, who meets a girl at one of his gigs. They start to date, and then she comes down with an illness that puts her in a coma, and he has to sort of make good with her parents, played by Holly Hunter and Ray Romano. So, you know, right there, I'm in. And I've heard that this is one of the most original and one of the best romantic comedies that have come around the pike in many a moon. And it was... It takes place here in Chicago.
Two very watchable movies. One great, one probably really, really good. What's The Beguiled?
The Beguiled is the remake of the Clint Eastwood movie we talked about last week. This is the one with Colin Farrell as the Union soldier in the Civil War who is injured and is taken in by the girls' school boarding school that's run by Nicole Kidman. Elle Fanning and Kirsten Dunst are also students there. And it's a creepy movie, about how this soldier manipulates these girls, and then the girls take vengeance on him. The original, with Clint Eastwood and Geraldine Page, directed by Don Siegel, is one of the better movies of the 70s, and is one of my favorite Clint Eastwood performances of all time. And I'm really interested to see what Sofia Coppola, because Sofia Coppola, adapted it and directed it, what she does here. It's a great cast. The original is fantastic, and this is getting good reviews, too. So this is... You know, it seems like it's going to be a pretty strong weekend at the movies.
Despicable Me 3 is pretty much what we would expect it would be. It would be Despicable Me the third time.
That's exactly right. Steve Carell providing voices, Kristen Wiig, Trey Parker. The highlight of all of these Despicable Me movies, which are fun, they're good, kids like them, my mom loves them, but the highlight of all of them are the minions, the little yellow dudes. They're hilarious, and, you know, they obviously had their own spinoff movie a couple of years ago. And now they're back with Steve Carell playing double duty. He plays his twin brother in this one. And as long as there are long sequences with the minions, it'll remain entertaining. And I think this thing is probably be number one at the box office this weekend. So.
And I will do pretty much anything to watch Will Ferrell do pretty much anything. But this movie, The House, with he and Amy Poehler, I don't know. I got a feeling this is not going to work out.
They're not screening it for critics.
There you go.
You right there. The thing about this is that it's so disappointing because there's so many great people in it. You know, obviously a cast led by Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler together for the first time as leads in a movie. That right there should be enough for you to get in. But Nick Kroll is in it, and so many other people that are very funny are in it. They're keeping it away from critics. I saw the Red Band trailer, which is like the R-rated trailer that you can see, and they concentrated basically on one scene where basically the movie is about these – Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell play this couple that can't afford the college tuition for their daughter, so they open up an illegal casino and they run it, and wackiness ensues. And at one scene, I guess the guy was cheating in a casino at a blackjack table. They take him backstage or back room, casino style. They start to threaten him. They accidentally cut his finger off. The entire trailer of the Art Band trailer was the scene where they cut his finger off and blood shoots all over the room and they scream.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is the scene that you're advertising this movie for?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to do an entire trailer consisting of blood shooting out of a guy's mouth, out of a guy's finger and into people's mouths and on the floor? I was like, this does not bode well, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so Will Ferrell doesn't make a lot of movies that you have to run and hide from. It just looks as bad as you've described.
All the buzz, Steve, is really bad. And the fact that they're not screening it for critics, that a Will Ferrell movie, and this is the first Will Ferrell movie that's never been screened for critics.
I don't know that he's done any late night even to plug it.
Amy Poehler's been making the rounds. Ferrell really hasn't. And no, they're not. It's just it's crazy. I don't know.
Before we get to Chuck Todd and the big story in just a moment on the healthcare mess, when is your next movie?
It's July 11th, Tuesday, July 11th, and we're showing, apropos, in July, we're showing the hilarious National Lampoon's Vacation, directed by the late, great, and amazing Harold Ramis. Chevy Chase, when he was funny, and it's just it's a classic. Tuesday, July 11th, 14 to get in, free popcorn. It's at the AMC Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Starts at 8, I'll introduce the movie, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. And, yeah. So I hope everybody can come out. It's a hilarious, it's a really funny movie. I just rewatched it not too long ago, and
I forgot
how funny it is.
Yeah, it's definitely holds up.
I wanted to mention really quickly, one of the biggest laughs in the movie happens 2 minutes in, and I don't know if you remember it, Steve, but it's 2 minutes in, and it's the scene right at the beginning of the movie where they're driving the Anthony Michael Hall and Chevy Chase. Anthony Michael Hall plays his son. They're driving their station wagon into the used car lot to get the new car, and Eugene Levy plays the car salesman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Eugene Levy does a double take 2 minutes into the movie when he sees, you know, the mark arriving on the lot. He does a double take that just destroys me. That's 2 minutes into the movie. So if you show up on the 11th and you hear someone scream laughing 90 seconds into the film, that's me.
That's Nick and his therapist. And by the way, Christie Brinkley can't act and doesn't have to. Show up early just to see that. At 6:35, we'll come back with a big story. Actually, we'll go straight to the big story, right? No, we're coming back to the big story. Steve, what's the matter with you? And then we'll go to Chuck Todd at 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Real change begins immediately with the repealing and replacing of the disaster known as Obamacare.
Lie.
Repeal it and replace it.
Repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace Obamacare. We're going to repeal it. We're going to replace it. We're going to get something great.
Lie.
Get something great.
We're going to kill it. Let it die.
You're going to have such great health care at a tiny fraction of the cost, and it's going to be so easy.
This will be great if we get it done, and if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like, and that's okay, and I understand that very well.
Yeah, clearly you don't. At 6:45, Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, and MTP Daily joins us now. Of course, the bigger issue than this is the fact that the Nats came to town, and the Nats played the Cubs, and the Cubs came to town in D.C. where Chuck is. And basically, the Nats just slapped the Cubs around. I hope you're happy, Chuck.
We got one more game. You know, it would be sort of depressing if it ended up a 2-2 split, because it does feel like the Nats are a lot better than the Cubs right now.
I don't disagree with it.
Something wrong with your Cubbies, man. There's something wrong with them. Something's off. Lackey was he threw batting practice last night. It was fun. They went 52 straight pitches, I think, where the Nats never swung and missed a Lackey pitch.
How about that?
That included Strasburg twice. Okay.
how about that?
They never missed a ball.
Well, on top of that, Kirk Bryant. How long have I been awake?
Right.
So Bryant steps on third. And apparently snapped his ankle off.
No, he didn't snap his ankle off.
But there was nothing there. There was no violent movement, and he got hurt.
You know that Nats fans actually clapped and felt, like, bad for him and everything. There was a little bit of class there.
I like the surprise.
I'm so used to not seeing class. We don't get classy in Washington, Marion.
No.
So, you know, it's nice to
see. For sure. So yesterday, I'm losing track of time because I'm calling people by the wrong names. But Chuck's head rightfully exploded. Chuck Todd's head rightfully exploded, as mine has and yours has and everybody's has, over this fake news nonsense and Sarah Huckabee Sanders coming out this week and opening up the only live-to-video press briefing with that sermon. Tell everybody what your point on this, Chuck, is, for those who might have missed it.
Well, look, it is – you got to remember what they're trying to do. Why are they trying – to slam every major news organization with a story they don't like? It's fake news. And then what they've done to CNN and exploiting a mistake CNN made, a mistake that was big enough they fired people. And why do they want to exploit it? And then she goes and asks people to watch a video while lecturing that press corps about fake news. Says, I don't know whether it's true or not, but everybody should see that video.
Right.
That phrase itself, so destructive, so blatantly honest, though. I'll give her that. I mean, it was at least being honest. Like, look, we're not here to push truth. We're here to push whatever makes us look better.
Right.
And, you know, look, the cynic is going to listen to this and say, oh, Powell's just been lying to us for 40 years. What's the difference? There's, you know, there's an honesty to this lying that we didn't get before. And I get that to a point. But if we get to a point where we're not, we don't trust anything any of us say to each other, we're not going to govern. We're not going to run as a country. We're already feeling like a, I feel like the country is running the way. Remember when you'd accidentally get water in your lawnmower gas tank? And it would be like, all of a sudden, it'd start popping smoke, chug.
Yeah.
Couldn't like quite get it going.
Yeah.
And start, it kind of be on, but it would like, that's the way the country's being run right now. Because we refuse to, I mean, look, Mitch McConnell called bipartisanship a threat, not an idea. You know? Like, you Republicans better get it together or we're going to be stuck having to work on the other side.
We're going to have to talk to Chuck Schumer.
Yes. You know, and yes, okay, when you start talking to Chuck Schumer, you know, you better not have dinner plans because you'll never make it in time. I say that, but other than that, I mean, you know, Chuck Schumer, for better or for worse, is a guy who does a lot of bipartisan deals.
Well, and Donald Trump... Yeah, and Donald Trump, who is the furthest thing from a hardcore idealized Republican, is the president of the United States. He's not the president of the Republicans. Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell are the leaders of the Senate, who will, of course, defend their parties. But the idea that Mitch McConnell would use his outside voice and say it out loud, if we don't get our act together, we're going to have to compromise. I mean, it sums it all up.
It sums up, and it's everything that's wrong with the system right now. I mean, the fact is, every U.S. senator knows, let's say they pass this Republican bill on a party line vote, it's temporary. The minute Democrats get control and have the ability to do it, maybe it's 2 years, maybe four, maybe they have to wait seven, the way the Republicans had to wait, they'll redo the law themselves. I mean, is that what we're going to do? Is that fair? Or we have to cede the two law, you know, I mean, Ron Johnson, the Wisconsin senator, Republican, he said, I guess this is what we have to do. They did it their partisan way. We'll do it our partisan way. And then after it fails, then we'll come together.
Ridiculous.
But that's just
ridiculous.
It's partisanship at its absolute worst.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. And you know what, though, Chuck? I hate to even say this. We're used to this in Springfield. We're dealing with the same thing. We haven't had a balanced budget in Illinois in 3 years. This is the first time Illinois probably will not have a balanced budget.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
We've exported this nonsense.
Yeah.
Right? Because what happens is, state-level lawmakers see, well, there's really no penalty for obstruction. The voters do not penalize as long as you stick up for your tribe. Because that's what it is. We're no longer political parties. We're tribal.
Right.
As long as you stick up for your tribe, it doesn't matter what's happening outside your tent or outside their tent. You just care about what's happening in their tent, and then you care about what's happening in your tent. That's the Springfield nonsense. I mean, are we really on – it's amazing that it's over 2 years.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Mike Madigan.
I don't even know who to blame anymore. I am a pox on both of them at this point.
Well, Mike Madigan is, has been here since the Roman Empire, and he is, as you pointed out, the last of the great legislators who control states with something
machine old. Guy, the last machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And Mike Madigan has taken the only do a press conference once a week thing to an all new level. You can get an interview with the Queen of England easier than you can get time with Mike Madigan, unless he wanders out and talks to 12 reporters at once, doesn't answer their questions, says three things and walks away. He's got a handler who has a phone. Mike doesn't have a phone, and he refuses to appear. And that's the point I've tried to make here. If you think that's a great way to run a state, well, look at the way Illinois has been run and the situation we're in with a powerhouse like Chicago at the center of the heartbeat of the state. We're in this world of mess. This is what Washington is headed for with the amateur hour we have in the White House and in Congress now.
Well, and what's frustrating here is I go back to being numb to it. You know, I was just in Chicago a couple of weeks ago talking about this issue in Illinois, and they're like, yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, just sort of shrugging the shoulders. And there's a part of Washington that's sitting there, and this is the problem. I mean, this is, call it the crying wolf syndrome, call it white noise, whatever you want to call it, but we're too numb to it. And so we now expect the worst. We expect mediocrity. We expect partisanship. And, you know, we're just pleasantly surprised when they don't kill each other, you know, for a week or something like that. And I know that sounds like a little absurd, but I, you know, there's no other way to look at it. I can't sit here and, oh, geez, well, it's because of this ideological disagreement. It's not. We're at the point now, and I'm not convinced Democrats want to work with Republicans. I think nobody wants to give anybody a victory anymore.
Yep.
That's why there's no bipartisanship, because we can't share a victory. There's no such thing as, boy, this is win-win for Madigan and Rauner, or this is win-win for the Senate Democrats and Trump, because neither side wants to give the other side any victory. We want to rub, you know, we want to stomp them out.
It's interesting, too, right? And I'll let you go on this, but
you can't govern.
No, you can't govern that way. And the idea that you are desperately trying to hold on to a job, for what reason? For what reason at this point? What are you actually doing? You're not governing. You're having nice dinners in Georgetown. You're telling people how powerful you are. I don't get it. I don't get the end game in Springfield, certainly, but I don't get it in D.C. either, because, you know, these are people in their late 60s and 70s who have seen it run right, seen it run fairly well, and now see what's happening, and they're at the top of the food chain. I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror if you're Chuck, if you're Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi.
I don't sleep well at night the last 6 months. I think about this stuff all the time. I certainly hope our leaders don't sleep well at all.
Right.
They ought to be embarrassed.
That's exactly right. Well said, my friend. That's Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, and Meet the Press on Sunday. Thanks as always.
All right, Steve. Appreciate it.
See ya. And I would highly recommend you go and get the podcast, the video podcast, the clip, if you will. Can we still call them clips?
Yeah,
the
sure.
Clip of Chuck talking about it yesterday on NBC.
My favorite line, aside from they ought to be embarrassed and I hope they don't sleep at night, there's no penalty for obstruction. Think about that. That says it
That's
all
absolutely
for
true.
Springfield and D.C.
If you turn around, you're going to see a handsome devil that just walked into the studio. You might think, who is this guy? We should call security.
Okay.
Big O in the house coming up on 720 WGN.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Hee-haw! You know, we don't have to hee-haw when Big O's in the studio, but it's a good time.
Why not?
Orion Samuelson, you look great.
Well, thank you very much. You do, too.
How are you feeling?
About 85%.
80%.
Legs are still doing physical therapy to rebuild the strength.
We'd take 85.
No, I won't. It's got to be
100. You want 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want 100. 100, when are you going to start running around the country doing speeches again? As soon as possible?
August.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about fair season when everybody wants to see you?
August.
Okay.
And we're at the sandwich fair this year. I'll be at the Illinois State Fair.
Not going to miss that.
No, never miss that one. So,
million people to thank for taking good care of you, but mostly, I guess, Nurse Gloria.
I think I may lose her. I think the Mayo Hospital may hire her as head nurse.
With that lead, I'm going, what, trouble at home?
As head nurse, because she impressed everybody on staff at the Mayo Hospital. She's great at rebandaging, because at one time I had four open wounds on my leg.
I was in a band called Four Open Wounds. Managing you, me, anybody who we I guess like us, there's got to be a little bit of butt kicking, but also a little bit of managing our egos as
well.
So I imagine she was pretty good at the psychology behind this.
She knew when to push and then knew when to back off.
There you go.
You know, she really pushes on the physical therapy, which I need.
Right.
And I know I need it, but it's not any fun.
Are you able to get in the pool?
No, I couldn't because I have the open wounds on my leg.
So when can that happen again? Because that's
good for
we'll
you. Be back out there to check in with Mayo July 14th, and then I'll be able to go into the pool.
Because the pool's great, right?
Very great.
Orion's pool is so awesome. There's like a throne area, which there should be. It's kind of an elevated bench.
Yeah.
End of it.
Yeah.
But that's your seat.
And a margarita fountain.
Yes.
Yeah. True.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, Big O?
Yeah, runs constantly in the pool.
Someone had to say it.
I think we need to go down and visit Orion by the pool, poolside meeting.
Whether he's there or not.
Notice him.
Well, it's great to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back. I miss the family, but at least I was able to hear you in Arizona.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. Stick around a little bit if you can. You can certainly chime in with this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We've asked the General Assembly to come together in a special session for the next 10 days, not as Democrats and Republicans, but as leaders who share bipartisan concern for our state's future. Right now, our state is in real crisis, and the actions we take in the days ahead will determine how history remembers us.
It's the final countdown.
Jake, get it done again. 7:14, Pat Brady's here. Where do you work, Pat?
Next Generation Strategy.
I've asked Dorian Samuelson to chime in wherever he feels like it. Andrea's here. Dave's pounding out another sportscast. Seventh floor is covered. And I'm Steve, your radio friend. Let's bring in Bill Brady. Senator Brady, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Nice to have you back.
We're dealing with that down here.
Yeah, well, that would be the point, right? And with just a couple of days left, what's your level of optimism or pessimism?
Well, you know, I'm a senator and a businessman, so I'm always optimistic. But
okay, then what's your level of delusion?
I guess, but I just don't get what Mike Madigan's doing over in the House. I, you know, we've got road projects are shutting down. Yesterday I was talking to someone. I said this is the Madigan meltdown that we have to go through because of the games he wants to play. And it's unfortunate.
I just want to clear up a couple things here because you're in the room and you've been around this forever. And you guys are closer to it than we are. However, we swim in this every day. The people walking by the window this morning and driving to work, they don't. And they expect the government to actually govern. I know that's a crazy notion. But there are no surprises in this week. There are no surprises last week. You don't need extra meetings. You don't need to sit down and go, how should we handle this or that? We've had 2 years to figure out all of this. Everybody knows in any negotiation, you got to know what the other guy has and what you have, and you got to find something in the middle that works. Rauner knows what Madigan wants. Madigan knows what Rauner wants. And yet Madigan wants to hold another kumbaya meeting or create another stall. Why is anybody putting up with that? And by the way, including the Democrats.
You're exactly right. The House Democrats have let him get by with this for far too long. But let me say this about Democrats. John Culleton, the president of the Senate, has worked diligently with our leader, Chris Redonio, to put together a package. And we've been dealing with this for over 5 months, negotiating in a bipartisan way. These are the same Democrats who represent the same people as the House Democrats who've worked out what we call pretty much the Capitol Compromise. This is a plan that provides property tax relief through a freeze to people in Illinois, term limits for legislative leaders, a balanced budget with a spending cap, temporary revenues that the Democrats insisted on, and real cuts in spending, as well as reform for local governments to save money. And we've worked through this. Mike Madigan knows that. The House Democrats know that. And then they come back, when they finally come to the table, come back with a plan that is where we started. It's so frustrating. I mean, a budget that's what we believe is $2.4 billion out of balance, at least, and a plan that they know cannot be accepted. And Mike Madigan is just taking the state into a meltdown that we can ill afford. And its people deserve better.
Hey, Bill, it's Pat. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Pat. How are you doing?
Pretty good. What has
well,
needs
I
to
happen? We're all doing pretty good.
Yeah, I hope so. What needs to happen in the next 48 hours over in the House to avoid the Madigan meltdown?
Click our heels?
I mean, seriously, where do we need to? What did Durkin and the others need to get done with this Mike Madigan just to avoid the meltdown?
Well, when we ended the month of May, in a position that was very close with John Culleton, we sat down with Jim Durkin and the governor, and we said, here's where we were. And I will say this to the governor's credit. He said, can we give a little bit more here? And that's what the Capitol Compromise was. And Jim Durkin is on board with it. He's trying to get it done. But Madigan controls the gavel, and the people of Illinois just need to stand up and say, this is enough. We're not playing the theater games for Mike Madigan. We need a solution. We're losing jobs every day. Road projects are shutting down.
Well, how about shutting off revenue streams? We're not even selling lottery tickets anymore.
Yeah, it's you're right. It's catastrophic what Mike Madigan's creating with his meltdown. And if it's all for theater, shame on him. And I will tell you, the people of Illinois are getting more and more frustrated and upset with it. But what we need to do is put focus on them and say, you know, this game of theater, what you're trying to do with this narrative, isn't helping things. John Culleton came to the table and agreed with us in a compromising way about where we needed to be. We met, I would say both sides met halfway to get a deal. Because John Culleton knows how much we need reforms, how much we need all of these issues, a balanced budget. Madigan is just playing pure partisan politics that is frankly ruining the state, and this meltdown is something we can not afford to.
Yeah, well, in a small example that came up yesterday, because I want to get Andrea and Orion in here before the break, $70,000 a day. Just one example. This is just one example. This is not the total cost. $70,000 away being thrown away just in interest for CPS loans to keep the schools functional and being in a position, at least today, where they can open on time in the fall. Andrea?
You're right. And
go ahead, Senator.
No, I just see. You're right. And we've put forward a bipartisan school funding program that gives parity to Chicago schools, that gives them the resources they need to educate their children, and they've walked away from it. Again, they've gone with the extreme. So the Madigan meltdown is an extreme measure that is so partisan and so political. It's hurting, but go ahead.
Senator, I know, we hear this every single day. We cover this. We talk about it. It has come to the point of where social service agencies will shut down on Friday. There's no more lottery. The construction projects are going to stop. Somebody is going to have to budge. Who is going to budge? And does everybody realize that this is it? This is it. You hit the nail on the head. People are tired of hearing it's Madigan's fault. It's Rauner's fault. It's Madigan. Somebody's going to have to budge.
Well, here's the point. John Culleton, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans under the leadership of Chris Ordonez, the governor, and Jim Durkin are by and large on the same page. We're there. But the speaker finally entered the game, and I think with false pretenses, he's come in and laid out this plan that he knows is not realistic, or he just hadn't been paying attention. But Senator Culleton and his Democratic colleagues in the Senate realized there needed to be a compromise. The compromise is on the table. It's called the Capitol Compromise.
Right. But just in the interest of time, Senator, the bottom line here is Madigan's not oblivious to this. He knows exactly what's going on, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Oh, last word before the break. Whoops, let me get a mic on. There you go.
An email from a farmer saying, will there be a state fair this year?
Right.
And so, Senator Brady,
will there be?
Will there be?
Sure. You know,
be careful,
I
Bill. Sure.
I guess I got to be careful. Without a budget, I don't know that there can be. I haven't looked into that. I'm presuming there will be. And it's always good to hear from you. But, you know, that's the common person who's saying, why are we letting Mike Madigan screw around with important things like celebrating agriculture in this state? The foundation of our economy. So I can't promise you there will be. If Mike Madigan controls the gavel in the House, and if he continues to play these games, there is a lot at risk, including probably the state fair. But we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he doesn't get his way.
Well, I'm scheduled to be there on the Tuesday of the fair for the Salem Champions. So,
don't mess with Orion.
Yeah. I'll put that word in with Mr. Madigan.
You know what we need is a recreation of the Independence Day scene, and it's the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll stand up on a car, and it'll just be giant floating Mike Madigan heads behind us that we have to shut down because it's our Independence Day.
The sky gets ominous.
Take back the state. Thank you, Senator. Go to work.
Well, let me just say this. I want one last thing about Senator Culleton. A Democrat from Chicago realizes this. Why Mike Madigan can't come to the table the same way Senator Culleton has baffles me. And I
it doesn't baffle me. He doesn't want to. That's the difference. Cullerton wants to strike a deal, and good for him for wanting to strike a deal. Madigan doesn't. I'm not baffled at all.
So does the governor. And
right.
So does Jim Durkin and Chris Redonio. There's only one odd man in this deal.
Odd's the right word.
Madigan Melton, yeah.
I wouldn't screw with Orion either. You better get the state fair thing.
Yeah, maybe we'll put Orion on the car. It'll mean more. Last thing about this, or at least for the moment, and Pat, I'd be curious to get your opinion on this. Look, I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. I have a job that I love. I'm handsomely compensated for it. And I'm lucky to have it. I'm lucky to be sitting in the same chair that Bob Collins sat in, that Spike Odell sat in. And lucky to be working with you guys, and lucky to be talking to you guys. Having said that, I care about what happens to this state. And even though the economic hardships of no budget haven't shown up at my front door yet, I care about what's happening to the people that it has affected. And you don't have to be Kreskin. You don't have to be a genius to look forward and go, there's damage on the horizon. I was in Detroit in 1999 for a year. Felt like three. Detroit's managed to come back a little bit, but metro downtown Detroit is nothing like it was in the 50s and the 60s and before that, and who knows if it'll ever come back. Is that what you want for Chicago? Because this is not hyperbole. This is not some emotional, Steve shooting his mouth off for ratings. I am deeply concerned about the future of the city and the state and all the things that are going to be affected. And all I'd ask people that are listening now, if you haven't taken the time to tell the people you voted for or the people you chose not to vote for and you didn't vote, if you haven't taken time to get off Facebook for 10 minutes or to get on Facebook and let your elected reps know that you're upset about this, I don't know when you're going to get in the game. Because you need to care, even if it hasn't shown up at your front door. 85% of the state mandated budget pays for things. So, yeah, your kid's school may not be affected yet, but this cancer, literally, this cancer that's eroding the state of Illinois is getting closer. What's it going to take for you to get involved? I mean, am I wrong about this, Pat?
No, it's stage four right now, and Senator Brady's right. We are nearing a Madigan meltdown. The bottom line, he just doesn't care. Because it's all about a political calculation for him. That being said, I was down there yesterday watching the hearings and then being in the back halls, and there are people, and Carol Sente was on earlier on the Steve show, there are people truly emotional on both sides of the aisle right now, elected state house members that want to get something done, but if the king doesn't want it done, Mike Madigan, it doesn't get done, and that's just too much accumulation of power in one person, and this is the same guy that opposes term limits, but I completely agree. It's beyond critical.
Even if it hasn't shown up, my kids are grown. I don't have kids in school now. But even if it hasn't and doesn't affect you today, it does and it will tomorrow, and it's getting closer to your front door. And I'm not going to need you a year or two to tell me I was right about it. Fix it now.
It's going to affect you when you drive on the roads and the construction is stopped. It's going to affect you if you use a social service. Everybody uses some sort of social service agency, be it for domestic violence, something you contribute to, something you volunteer for.
Just care enough. Care enough about your state and the city. Care enough about other people.
You live in the city, $70,000 a day.
Yeah.
A day.
In interest payments because the mismanaged CPS and ROM can't get along with anybody to get the funding formula done.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And people are sick of it. And somebody actually said the other day, can you impeach the governor and the House Speaker? I said, I think the answer to that is no.
Hey, but the good news is J.B. Pritzker got a tax break.
Yes.
He's going to get a rebate on his Astor Street property. Yeah. So that's the good news. So the system works for some of us.
And who is his main backer?
Mike Madigan.
Oh, what a coincidence that is.
And Rahm Emanuel.
I never saw that coming. 7:30. We're back with a big story in a moment. More with Orion, if he wants to. I mean, Orion brought up the best point. You want to have a state fair?
Exactly.
Better get a budget done.
Yep.
I think I scared Senator Brady, too, and I said, not so fast, Bill.
I tell you, downstate Norrie knows this better
than
me.
You want a corn dog, Bill? Yeah. Get the budget done.
You mess with that state fair, and you're going to have a lot of angry voters, and there are a lot of voters in downstate Illinois.
You know what else, too? We were talking about this off the air. I'd like to see the churches more involved. I'd like to see the churches in some of the worst neighborhoods in Chicago are the folks that are really trying to, in a cohesive way, keep those tough neighborhoods together.
Right.
And trying to make it safe and trying to do the right thing and trying to be a refuge for people. Where are the churches around the state? And why can't there be a cohesive network of churches that goes to Springfield and say, you're messing with the wrong people here, and defend the communities? Where are they?
They had some clergy when they did the walk from Chicago down to Springfield. They had some clergy there as well. But no, there needs to be a much more concerted effort.
Including my own.
On behalf of everybody, though.
7:31, big story next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
Couple of texters. 847, Mr. Cochran, I agree with you. I'd love to see Father Michael Flager go downstate and go head to head with Mike Madigan. That might be fun. And there were a couple of texters that said, no, separation of church and state. I'm not advocating the Ten Commandments be put on the lawn or a Christmas tree be put in inside the assembly. I'm saying in the same way the Pope speaks out for the greater good of the people of the world, the churches of this state could collectively step up and speak out, not just for social services, but for the greater good of the state. Because for everybody that's frustrated and go, well, that's what they do. Let's just all get to the same conclusion here, which is the ultimate truth. We have a massive failure in Springfield. Massive. In assuming that they are somehow going to get their act together without being pushed to either lose their jobs or get their act together is beyond naive.
But do you think that would really help? Do you think that they
think
say
would
all
help?
Of the clergy organized and everyone went down
I'm
there?
Willing to take any shot at all.
I think everything at this point is falling on deaf ears.
So what do we do? Nothing?
No,
I'm saying do something.
I completely agree with you, but it has to be an inner decision, either by Mike Madigan or Governor Rauner. There has to be a
but that's not
a
happening.
Come to Jesus.
It's not
moment.
Happening. It's not happening. That's the problem. Now the governor has the Pat. Am I right about this? The governor has the power to make these guys stay, right?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure mechanically how it works. I think he has to call a special session every hour to keep them down there. Okay. The governor has very broad powers under our Constitution, but he has to. There's a lot of mechanics to it, but yes, he does have that power.
And for everybody thinking that I'm slamming all Democrats, the when I talk about Trump, everybody thinks I'm slamming all Republicans. No, the vast majority of Republicans, including the vast majority of people that voted for Donald Trump because they believed in him, and they believed he wouldn't lie to them every day. And the people that vote Democrat in this state, which is the majority of the state, have strong beliefs that are based in truth, and they're there for the right reason. And there's a lot of people in Springfield who are trying to do the right thing. And one of those guys, I believe anyway, is Mike Zalewski. You might know his name. His dad's been an alderman for a million years. Well, a million might be a lot, Mike. Is that aging him a little more than he probably should be?
I don't know. He's young at heart, I'll put it that way.
Anyway, I appreciate you coming on. What's your take on all this?
I think, you know, in the last week, Steve, if people have been paying sort of gone above the rhetoric and beyond the flame-throwing, quietly, you've seen actually quite a bit of progress on things that are not related to the budget in an effort to build a bridge to our colleagues on the other side of the aisle and to the governor's office. We've made strides on property taxes. We've made strides on workers' compensation. We've made strides on local government consolidation, and we've made strides on pension. Yesterday, we took some votes to sort of test out how far we've come. Some things were there. Some things we have a little more work to do. But, you know, our caucus is the caucus that's trying to build a bridge to get this done. And we're going to keep working on it for the next 48 hours.
What are the people in the 23rd saying to you?
They're upset. You know, I think if you're looking at your email and Facebook comment traffic and Twitter traffic, you're acknowledging that people are livid that we don't have a budget by now and can't understand why. What I've consistently said is since the beginning of the year, I think prior to that, our caucus's position has been we don't want to link other issues related to the budget because the budget's pretty much the most important thing we do in Springfield. Since the beginning of the year, I think our caucus has had a reversal on that, and I think our caucus has said let's work cooperatively with the other caucuses and the governor's office to try to figure this out. It's taken a long time, and the progress has been incremental. But, you know, we're starting as the pressure becomes too much to bear, we're seeing more and more progress on those things.
Pat, say hi to Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thanks for coming on. And I agree with Steve Cochran. You're one of the truly substantive good guys down there that's working hard. I asked the same question to Senator Brady a few minutes ago. What needs to get done in the next 48 hours for us to get beyond this meltdown?
I think the most tangible thing, thank you for the kind words, by the way. I think the most tangible thing to see is if we make even more progress on these four core issues, I think, of workers' compensation, if we can make any progress on pensions, if we can make any progress on property taxes, and local government consolidation and see even maybe more bipartisanship. I would also say that we've introduced our budget in the last couple of days, and it with appropriate revenue, it balances out. It's lower than what the governor introduced in January. It funds core social services for core services of the state. So we're going to probably come to a point where we need to gauge the interest in a full year's budget from everybody on the floor. If those two things start to see some real momentum, I think you'll see some progress improve rapidly.
Mike, I had asked Senator Brady this earlier as well. I keep hearing compromise over and over again, both sides saying there has to be a compromise. Nobody's budging. Who do you think is going to budge? Who's going to be the one to give in, Rauner or Madigan, to get a deal done by Friday?
Yeah, I don't think we haven't. I don't agree that we haven't budged. Take property tax freezes, for instance, because it's the thing I've worked on as the chairman of the Revenue Committee. It's the thing I've had the negotiations with Jim Durkin's top people. We've budged. The governor's office wanted a two-year freeze. We've moved to a four-year freeze. There's things called home rule units of government that wanted out of the freeze. We've put them into the freeze, with the exception of the city. There's about six things that on a list of that are negotiable items. The Democrats have budged on all but four, on all but two. So we have budged. I maybe we haven't made that case well enough, and we, you know, that's why I think you've seen some increase in social media from our caucus. But in workers' comp, we've come there. On consideration for pensions, the model that everyone says is constitutional, we've put that in our pension plan.
Well, and I think we've seen
issues too that you haven't budged on too.
I'm sorry.
What are the two issues you said we've budged on all but two?
With respect to property taxes.
No, I thought you said that we've budged on all but two.
Within the property tax conversation, there's two items where we think we should we've met them halfway, and we think that we should run the bill as we proposed it.
What are those two though? Are they deep?
I think the idea that you should be able to not include pension debt in a property tax freeze is very cumbersome for local governments, because they are dealing with police and fire pensions, and they need to be able to make their payments so their bond ratings don't
right. So that starts to get a little bit deep in the weeds for most people, I know.
Yeah.
Where's the mayor on this, and what do you need from the mayor?
I think the mayor has been interested in seeing us compromise. I think he has ultimately said to the governor that it's important to start realizing that you're seeing cooperation from our caucuses. So if that message can be amplified, that would be helpful.
Let me go to Pat on this. So the for lack of a better term, the Madigan budget from the other day didn't show any funding that was apparent to me. Is it funded?
I'm sorry, what? The schools?
The school math that he threw out.
Mike could probably say it better than me. It's complicated. I think if you take it from the governor's point of view, the Republican side, that they are asking for reforms up here before we're going to give taxpayer money to Chicago Public Schools. I think that's the political argument. Mike, you probably have a more detailed answer than that.
And Mike, the larger budget that you were discussing that the Democrats have put forward, is that funded? And if so, you said we could find the revenue. Well, what's the revenue going to be?
I every revenue proposal that you've seen on how to balance a budget includes a mixture of raising the individual income tax rate, raising the corporate income tax rate, closing corporate tax loopholes, some I would say one-time things that change the way we treat certain taxes within the code that gets us to that $6 billion-ish number that needs to close the gap between the revenues we have coming in now and the between $36 and $38 billion in expenditures, which, by the way, everyone agrees we have. There's not a budget proposal out there. The governors, the Senate GOP, the House GOP, the Senate Dems, that doesn't put our spending number around there. So there has to be a reconciliation between revenues and expenditures. I think you're starting to see everyone talk about the same thing. We have to see the political will to get the requisite amount of votes on those proposals in the House and the Senate.
Hey, Mike, on the political will side, the big thing on the revenue side, which we haven't seen a real solid proposal from anybody, do you see in your district any way that, I hate tax increases. I don't want to pay more taxes, but I think voters generally, with certain exceptions in the far right of the Republican side, that we're going to need some revenue, that we're going to need some kind of tax increase to balance this out. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I every conversation I have about taxes is exactly what you just said. I hate them. I think I'm taxed too much. I think my property taxes are too high. I don't think they're commensurate with how much my house is worth. But what I need more is stability from state government. And I need you guys to get your act together, and I need you to pass a budget so that I can assure myself that it's a good place to raise my family. Businesses say the same thing. I know what I'm getting into in Illinois. It has access to transportation. It has access to global markets. I just need to know that things are going to be stable, that there's a familiar refrain on all those conversations about what is needed to get us out of this mess.
Before I let you go, are you being encouraged or discouraged or neither by the speaker as the Democrats move in the right direction, as you've described?
No, the speaker has been very clear. He'd like this to be a member-driven rank-and-file process to work with the Republicans on compromise.
But what's his role, Ben? Is he in meetings with your caucus?
I think he tasked various members, Greg Harris, myself, Barbara Curry, with roles. We go into caucus. We give reports on those roles. He's in caucus. He leads the discussion like any legislative leader should do. And then we can reconvene, make our plan for the next steps and go from there. It's a very collaborative process.
Okay, but we don't have time for too much collaboration at this point. So with 2 days to go, is your piece of this ready to rock? And what about the others as best you understand them?
I think if we continue down the road we're down in the next 48 hours, you'll see some real progress on a direction that shows that we're going to get a balanced budget sooner than later.
Tell Mike Madigan to call me. He can talk about it here anytime he wants.
Steve, have a very good morning.
Say hi to your father, Mike.
I will do. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you being on. Strong ending. I'll give him that.
Yeah. He's a good guy. That's what I talked about earlier. About there are rank and file people like Mike and Bill Brady and others that really want to get something done.
Yes, sir. Big O.
Well, the property tax situation. Yeah. All the time I spent in Arizona, and I got to visit with a lot of people, and I started to count, and I talked to 8. Former Illinois residents who said they had moved out of the state because of the tax situation.
There's a listener who texted and said he's got a job offer to leave the state and he doesn't want to do it. He said if there's no budget done by tomorrow, he sees no future and he's gone.
Yeah.
And that's a microcosm of a much larger problem of people walking. By the way, Pat, it wasn't me.
If you've really got a margarita fountain in that pool, I don't care what my property taxes are.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Good morning, Dean. How are you? Excellent. Good to talk to Dean. Dean's on the phone. Where is Dean? Hello, Dean. Hello.
Hello there. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Where are you?
Can you hear me now?
Where are you?
Can you hear me now?
Where are you?
I'm in Denver.
What are you doing in Denver?
I came here.
Big sale
yesterday.
On weed? Decided to go out?
That's right. I'm starting my new Uncle Dean's Weed franchise. I thought I should
it's
come.
Uncle Dean's Weed Porium, live from Denver.
I am here to preview the new Cirque du Soleil show that's coming to Chicago. That's called Lucia.
Yeah, I'm in it because I'm flexible.
Oh my gosh! There's a contortionist in this show.
I know. I taught him.
Like, I have never seen a contortionist act like this one. It was times where it was a little painful to watch.
Sure, you just preach to the choir.
This guy could twist himself up so much. It was unbelievable.
I turned myself into a Bavarian pretzel.
That's right. That part I don't mind, but when you put the salt and Parmesan cheese on you, that's the part where it gets a little weird.
I'm seeing this next month, Dean. So you loved it? It was good? Worth it?
It's an amazing show. It's all the usual Cirque du Soleil magic that you always see with trapeze artists and, you know, rope twirling and, you know, like the magic that they do under the big time.
How about the other stuff I recommended? Do they have the paddle ball where you just have the rubber ball on the paddle and you try to smack it?
A guy comes out with the paddle ball and boink, 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 boink like that.
And the slinky? Do they have the slinky?
They somehow did not do the contortionist. The contortionist was very slinky-like. But what you're talking about bringing out a long stairway and just dropping the slinky down the steps of the stairs. That they did not do in the show this year. But one of the coolest things that they do have, though, this is the first time ever Cirque du Soleil is incorporating the use of water and rainfall in the show. And it's not just that water comes down. It doesn't come on the audience. It's only on the performers. But it's completely magical how they incorporate the waterfall and how they kind of synchronize it with the music and the performance.
This isn't like some big excuse for a wet T-shirt contest. This is actually...
It's a little bit wet T-shirt contest with some of the performers, but it's an amazing show. It's coming to... It's going to be in the big top that they're going to set up just outside the United Center July... Wait a minute. I bet I have some notes on this so I get the dates right.
July what?
21st?
July
21st? Yep.
Yeah, to September 3rd.
Tickets on sale?
And tickets are on sale right now. But today I'm going to talk with some of the performers. Today I'm going to try some of the Cirque du Soleil stunts themselves, so you can expect me to be...
you'd be in a hospital by 5 or what time?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe by about 1 or 2 o'clock today. Okay. I may... be hospitalized.
I pitched them, you know, in all honesty, I pitched them with an idea where there'd be a giant Lazy Boy chair, like in the center ring, and the lights would come down, and then there'd be a spot on me, and the spotlight would show me, and the music would swell, and then the crowd would just go silent. You could hear a pin drop, and then I would get out of the chair without making a noise. That would be the big stunt I would do.
Which makes sense, right, Dean? Because Lucia means light, so that makes sense. The light.
Oh, I thought it meant
middle-aged
man. It's not middle-aged man. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I thought it had somehow to do with Lucia Ball, the actress.
Lucia, you got some splaining to do.
Wow, that was a stretch.
I tried to cover you.
Steve to get out of that chair. It would be a stretch for Steve to get out of the chair without making a noise.
Hey, Dean, speaking of what I did yesterday, I forgot to mention this. Jeff Haller, financial advisor at Raymond James, we played golf yesterday with one of my favorite guys, a man named the Commish. So, John, thank you. Dr. Sam was there, and Jeff Haller was there, and we played golf out at Stonebridge. And by the way, the only gallery was our lovely cart attendant, Genevieve, who applauded on the par 3 she oversaw. Nice. So thanks to everybody out there, Dean, since you brought that up.
Here's what I did. Besides coming here to Denver yesterday, I was almost kidnapped in a taxi cab.
Stand by for that story right after we get to traffic. Not my first day. Coming back, Dean kidnapped by an Uber driver, and he's still being held hostage. How much of an additional fare does this guy need to let Dean go? We'll come back with those details.
His name, oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
That's Dean coughing live on the air as we go back to Denver, where obviously the weed smoke from the weed loft has overtaken him.
You young broadcasters will want to clear your throats before you speak on the air.
Generally speaking, it's a better idea. So how long are you in Denver?
I am leaving Denver today and then going to another location tomorrow, a secret location tomorrow, where I'll be speaking to you from tomorrow.
For the show or for a good time?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
What, is this a legitimate tease, like you can't say, or this is just a way for us to suck more people into the segment?
Suck more people into the segment.
Okay, all right, that's what I thought. Rihanna's got a new boyfriend. Who is it?
Wait, don't you want to hear about me being kidnapped?
Oh, I forgot about that. I thought you'd been released.
He was so worried during the break, Dean. He got a lot of the worry out.
Yeah.
I could see that he somehow was, somebody reassured him that I was okay and not.
I'm amazed that you can even talk. You can even talk right now with that duct tape over your mouth.
I asked them to remove the duct tape. I explained that I do this segment with you every day, and I said, do you mind taking the duct tape off?
Right.
For a couple of minutes, and then you can put it right back on.
What's the ransom? I'm not sure we'll pay it, but what's the ransom?
The ransom right now is $39.42. I don't know how they chose that amount.
But... I got like $3 on me.
Oh, I got like $200 in cash. You're good.
Yeah. Cool. Spot me?
Yeah, so you're good. Here's $220. See if you can get Dean out of the trunk.
It's hard to read my notes in the trunk.
That's the phrase that pays. All right, so how'd you almost get kidnapped?
So I arrive in Denver yesterday and get my luggage. By the way, major airline that based in Chicago, thanks for destroying one of my suitcases.
Is this the one that rhymes with United?
No.
Schmerican?
that was a Yiddish song I learned when I was a young boy.
Wait, airline based in...
My bubby used to sing to me, Schmerican.
So it's not United, and it's not Schmerican? What is it?
Well, I didn't say it's not Schmerican.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, so they destroyed...
It could be any airline,
yeah.
But it could be the one that rhymes with Schmerican.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for ruining my luggage. We'll see how that gets resolved.
Yeah.
So that starts off my arrival in
Denver. That's no damn good, yeah.
I go out to the curb. I get into the in the taxi line. I get in a taxi and give the address to the driver, who doesn't really understand really very much English at all. I gave him the address like four or five times. He's still not getting it. He pulls away and is driving while he's typing in the address into his GPS, which is a little concerning.
Yeah, it's a confidence builder.
Yeah, so we're driving, and we're probably, we're out of the terminal. We're driving like a couple of miles, and then in his broken English tells me that it's going to be an extra $25 if I want him to use the tollway. And I said, $25 for the tollway? I've never heard of anything like that. Yes, $25 for the tollway. And it's like, there's no tollway that's $25. I said, turn around, take me right back to the airport. This is a scam. This is not working. He's continuing and arguing with me. So while he's arguing with me, I'm looking around the cab to see if there's the name of the cab driver,
right.
A number,
IDM, yeah,
something. There is no identification whatsoever inside this cab while the guy's barreling down the highway at 60 miles an hour arguing with me. I get on the phone. I see only a telephone number for his cab company. So I call the cab company and I tell them what's going on. They call their driver on his phone while we're still driving.
So you're in the back seat on your phone with a cab company, and they pick up a different line and call the guy in the front seat.
And they call the guy, and now they're arguing about this $25 toll that, by the way, does not exist.
Oh, of course it
doesn't. There is no such thing.
Right.
The guy was just trying to rip me off for this extra $25. In the meantime, I'm saying, stop the cab, turn around. He turns on a frontage road and goes heads toward back to the airport. And how when you go to the airport, you can go to the departure lanes,
yeah,
or the arrival lanes. He stops like right in the middle of those two ramps, like right, just stops while all the arguing's going on inside the cab. We couldn't have looked more like we were about to commit some kind of terrorist attack. A car parked at that spot in the airport. Police come running up to the car, and I'm screaming, "Let me out of this cab! Get me out of here!" I explain what's going on. The police set me free out of this cab, and the arguing continues. I don't know what happened to the cab and cab driver, but quite an experience.
So, you could go find a Colorado attorney with that kind of trauma if you were that type of person. But there was no cab company you could ID?
No, there was. That's how I got the number. It was the name of the cab was on the side of the cab. They had a tiny little sticker. That was the only way I was able to call the cab company and tell them what their driver was trying to do to me. But zero identification of the driver. How many times have you gotten in a cab and you don't even pay attention to the name, to the cab driver number, some kind of ID if something goes wrong? There was nothing. When I saw that there was nothing in the cab, I thought, I am a dead man. I mean, I have no way of identifying this person. If the arguing wasn't
what a bizarre
going on
deal.
In the front seat, it was so weird, and my broken luggage is in the trunk, so I can't like really do anything. I got to get my luggage, before I go any place. But thank goodness Denver police, or, it's like the police who are at the airport, They were all over that thing in a second when, you know, it looked suspicious of why this cab was stopped in such a weird place. And they couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more, you know, helpful to me. I literally was shaking a little bit when
they should, you should not only should the guy be arrested, you should be given the cab as a going away present. You should be given a cab so you can just drive it back to Chicago.
I would think about doing that if I wasn't opening my weed franchise here.
Right. By the way, Dean's weed franchise is just weed. It's called Just Weed. Just Weed.
Right. Yeah, we don't have time for the paraphernalia, just the weed.
Just so you know, that was the second craziest thing that happened in the country yesterday because Donald Trump is still in the White House. Now, here are the last three tweets from Trump. Okay, the last three
morning.
Tweets. Last
this,
three tweets.
Yes.
In the last hour.
Right.
The first of which is a presidential tweet just about something. Listen to this. New sugar deal negotiated with Mexico is a very good one for both Mexico and the U.S. Had no deal for many years, which hurt U.S. badly. So it's a sugar tweet. And most of America would yawn. They wouldn't care. I'd like you to now hear the next two tweets because it relates to your world. Even though you guys on Channel 9's Morning News beat the snot out of all the other competition, including, obviously, MSNBC, where Joe Scarborough interrupts, like I've never even thought of, and Mika Brzezinski, and he hosts this show, and they're getting married and blah, blah, blah. So here's Trump's next two tweets. The president of the United States this morning in the last half hour. Trump, I heard poorly rated Morning Joe speaks badly of me, in parentheses, don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika along with Psycho Joe came to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
Wow.
That's the president of the United States. Oh, yeah, it's me. I'm the problem. That's the president of the United States.
Wow.
And you thought you were bad, stuck in a cab with that loon. I don't know how I get to the Rihanna story now.
There's no words.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I remember when Larry had the facelift. You didn't even bring it up.
No, we never talk about any of our in a you know, given amount of time, you know, with all of us on the TV morning news, one of us is always having some cosmetic surgery.
Right.
But they didn't insist on joining then candidate Trump at Mar-a-Lago.
No,
I don't think any of us have done that.
Even after Paul Conrad had the boob job, he didn't insist on showing him off there.
No. I think we're pretty cool about our cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
Before I got on the plane to come here to Denver yesterday, I had a butt lift. It's not easy. You sit on a plane for a couple of hours after a butt lift. I didn't complain.
I was at a band called Butt Lift.
Now because you said this. Otherwise, I would have never even brought it up.
So Rihanna's got a new boyfriend.
She was. Oh, yeah, that's right. The entertainment news. She was spotted kissing a Saudi businessman whose name is Hassan Jamil.
Okay.
They were by a swimming pool in Spain, smooching it up.
Well, thank God you found someone with money.
29 years old and is extremely wealthy.
Yeah,
congratulations.
That's congratulations to both of them. Kris Jenner is holding hands with who?
With composer David Foster.
What?
Composer David Foster. You know, he's a producer, pianist.
I thought he was married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
David Foster? No, I don't think so.
No, that's so. Fisher Stevens, isn't it?
No, look this up. Michelle Pfeiffer is married to some damn composer. R2-D2 was sold?
One of the original R2-D2 units from the original Star Wars yesterday, Steve, sold for $2.7 million.
David Kelly.
David Kelly.
Wrong David.
Yeah, and not a composer, a TV show guy. That's right.
Yeah, David's not a common name.
I feel like if I get I feel like if I get half a name right, I can accuse him of anything.
Oh, man.
Fake news. Fake news. Yeah, sold at an auction house yesterday for $2.7 million.
That seems
43-inch tall R2 unit was sold.
Okay. And then finally, the Oscar Academy, the Motion Picture Academy, you know, the one that's not the talkies. Or it is the talkies. They invited a whole bunch of new voting members.
Yeah, you know, that's been the controversy, that they didn't have a broad enough member base, and, you know, that was causing some problem with the kinds of choices that they made. So They, in a bold move, invited 744 new people to join the academy yesterday. Among them, a 95-year-old Betty White, because they didn't have enough old white people in the academy. I love Betty White.
Right, right, right.
Excuse me, it was 774 new people.
Yeah, they didn't exactly address the problem then.
Well, that's just one example. But okay. Jordan Peele, who directed that amazing movie Get Out, was invited to vote in the director's category. Wanda Sykes has been invited to be part of it. Kate McKinnon has been part of it.
Oh,
and here's
cool.
here's the weirdest. There are plenty of them. Lou Ferrigno has been invited to vote for the Academy Awards. Lou Ferrigno.
Hey, I appeared in 5 movies. Why am I not invited?
Well, you should be part of it, Steve.
Ridiculous.
Your next bodybuilder also, just like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, X would be the word. All right, good luck in Denver.
And I'm going to talk to you tomorrow from a secret location where I will also tell you about our big 4th of July fireworks broadcast that you're not going to be on. On WGN TV on the 4th of July. You're more than welcome to come and join me on it. We used to do a couple, 2-3 people on this broadcast. Steve was one of them for many years.
Yeah.
Steve was fired for, if you'll excuse the expression, shooting off his own bottle rocket, if you know what I mean. So this year.
That's the reason.
It's me solo doing it, but I don't want to plug that right now on the 4th of July at 9:30 p.m. on WGN TV.
Right.
So I'll tell you about that more tomorrow.
Super secret.
From my new secret location where I'll be tomorrow.
That's Dean Richards in one of our best segments ever. We're back with a big story next. Trouble at the Vatican after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Credit cards company's like, okay, you want to play with us? We'll play with you. Okay, the minimum payment now goes from 2% minimum payment to 4%.
Seems pretty upset.
Okay, so now you got a person that's barely hanging on. $20,000 to $30,000 with credit card debt at 2% is $400 to $600, right? It's manageable.
It's so angry.
Now you just, what do these morons do? They turn it into $800 to $1,200 a month. Who the hell can afford that?
Stop yelling at me.
So what do they have to do? They have to go out and take out another credit card to pay the credit cards off.
I promise you, I don't look for his fuse and light it. I really don't.
Take it easy, champ.
Maybe sit the next couple plays out. You know what I mean?
He has human high blood pressure. He's my friend David Hochberg. David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. In a very interesting time in your business.
Yeah, yeah. Nice and by the way, I have to say, the best opening ever.
It really is.
It really is. And it's like almost a year old. And
it should be your ringtone.
It's like fine wine. Yeah. It should be my ringtone.
It's a long ringtone. I just let the phone ring so you could hear the whole thing.
It's great.
How are things at Pearl Mortgage?
Outstanding. We're rocking.
Having a big year?
Yeah.
How's Ross Cochran working out for you?
He's actually doing phenomenally well, not surprisingly, but it takes about a year to get your feet under you and your legs.
But just about a year?
Yeah, it's a little over a year. I think it was like April was a year. And
you stole him from his father.
Stole him. Yeah, I took him. I gave him a livable wage. I took him off food stamps. And, it's...
That might be true.
They weren't food stamps. They were food stickers.
Well, that's fine. Food, whatever. He does. He's off the government cheese now. But he's... he's doing phenomenal. I think it's 16 weeks and he's going to close, I believe, 5 loans this month.
Nice.
And he's progressed so much, not just telling this cause he's your son, but he's progressed so much that it enabled me to take another gentleman who was at Pearl, who specializes in rural loan, USDA rural loan, RURAL, which is for, it covers about 75 to 80% of the state, It's a specialty loan. I don't know much about
farm loans, things like that.
It's not so much farm loans. It's people that are in rural areas. Okay. And what's a rural area? Some people might consider Rockford a rural area, but Rockford, the city proper is not rural, but the outlying suburban areas are rural.
And those folks need mortgages just like everybody else.
And those folks don't realize that they could get mortgages with zero down. and basically not have to come into and you know not have to come in the closing with any money if everything lines up properly. You need to have a 660 credit score, and there's some qualifications. But the gentleman that we I just interviewed yesterday, who was already at Pearl to join our team, is going to also specializes in the credit challenge borrowers, which Ross has been helping for the past 8 months. They gave him that responsibility to teach him how to develop people's credit scores, how to get them out of a bankruptcy and, you know, reestablish credit out of
a
bankruptcy.
And because he's able to speak to people in a gentle, caring way.
It's unbelievable.
It's not like you yelling at them.
I talk loudly, and I don't have a lot of patience. And as I get older, he has a patience of a priest,
right.
And which, you know, he does counseling on that, from what I understand, right. On Sundays. Yeah. So he's amazing, and he's progressing, which has now created an opening and an opportunity for somebody else who's been at Pearl for 10, 15 years to join our team and take over the credit challenge borrowers.
Everybody wins.
And we now have a guy on our team who specializes in rural loans, RURAL, which I'll now be advertising heavily.
Well, you're advertising right now. So if people are thinking they've got to step up to the local bank, because the local bank is where everybody goes.
Which is, you know.
Which could cost you a lot of money. They don't have to.
Right. Because I have an expert that does that now who's on my team, who just does rural loans.
Anywhere in the state?
Anywhere in the state of Illinois. Actually, Iowa, you know, all the listening areas. You know, we're licensed in Iowa, Indiana. You know, the Pearl's licensed in 30-some states. So Michigan, Wisconsin.
So anywhere you're listening around the country,
right,
you don't
now
have to go to the bank down the street, just because everybody else does. If you want to, that's your business.
Right.
But if you would like to at least price it and see what the Pearl folks can do for you, what do they do?
Just give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. We also just revamped our website with the help of Ross and another gentleman. So if you go to WGNDavid.com, it's a whole new look. All my loan officers' pictures are up there that have provided me pictures.
Did you do the swimsuit shot you were talking about?
I did from the top up. Andrea was modeling a jacket because she's going to be on WGN-TV later today while wearing a Speedo.
David's
wearing
this. I'm wearing a Speedo. Right. I was wearing and I borrowed the jacket. I couldn't get it around. Right. It looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right.
My jacket.
So
All right. So let me get you with a couple basic things here.
Yeah.
You talk about pre-approval all the time.
Sure.
What's the difference between approval and pre-approval?
Well, I don't talk about pre-approval. Others talk about pre-approvals and are very proud of their pre-approvals, and if their pre-approvals don't go through, they'll offer you $1,000
and a cookie.
And the seller $1,000. That's great. But you lost the house. But here's a grand, okay?
Right.
The difference between a pre-approval and approval is an approval means that your loan has already been underwritten. A pre-approval just means that your loan has been looked at by a licensed loan officer, maybe a processor. It hasn't gone to the underwriter. What's the difference? The underwriter grades your paper, okay? The underwriter is going to be the one that says, you can buy this house. Let's go, right?
So any dope can do a pre-approval. An approval is what you want.
An approval is what you want.
Okay,
we've got I asked my team. We had 146 approvals ready to go. And that are just ready to.
So then you just got to find a house.
Just find a house. Now, here, under certain conditions, the house has to appraise out and has to be in good working order. Can't be falling apart. Can't be any challenges on the title from the seller side that has to be fixed.
The basic stuff.
Yeah, the basic stuff.
Common sense.
Right. You can't go out and open up credit cards and blow up your credit.
You don't like people that don't have common sense. I mean, you like them, but
I have no patience.
You wish
for
people
them.
Had more common sense.
Well, I've got challenges, and that's one of the impatience is one of my challenges that I've been working on for 50 years. And my doctor says I need to, you know, count to three before I speak. But then I forget what I'm going to speak about. So I just speak. So I stop seeing that doctor. And I'm looking for another one. But, you know,
Are you sure you weren't talking to the voices in your head? Was there an actual doctor in the room?
Who?
All right. So here's one other question I have for you.
Yeah.
Let's say you're going to purchase a home.
Yes.
Do you go out and hire people to do the repairs you want?
It's a great question. We just had a situation. Thank God PermaSeal was there.
Roy Spencer and Company.
Roy Spencer and Company, you know, loves the rain, loves helping people, because when it rains, people know that they have problems in their basements.
Because
there's the water, okay? We had a gentleman who was almost subject to, closing was subject to, that the seller to fill four cracks that were found in the basement. Okay, it was four cracks. And Roy will tell you what percentage of cement cracks, 100%, okay, because it settles and the weight, and I don't know anything about that, but, you know, he's been on my show a number of times, and that's what he says. So the seller did not fill the cracks, so I didn't trust this guy. So I sent PermaSeal out to inspect the cracks. I'm like, let me send my team out. because I, you know, we're partnered with Roy on the camera inspection through the sewer lines. If you buy a home and we do your mortgage, we'll pay for the sewer lines. So Roy's guy goes out there and says, does the inspection, says, what's the good news and the bad news? I go, that's not good. So what's up? He's like, well, we could fix it, but there's major structural problems with the house, and it's going to cost over $50,000 to repair the house.
Wow.
So my buyer, we were ready to close, okay? We were going to close on this $300,000 home, okay? Tool and die guy, right? Making 60, 70 G's a year, buying his first right. home. You know, he's like, oh, yeah.
People are taking advantage of
it. It's a couple of cracks. You wouldn't think it's
what I'm talking about.
He goes down 51 G's to fix the basement. Okay, so
that's all his money.
He doesn't even have to. He's buying it with like 5% down. I'm like, where the hell are you going to get 51 G's? So long story short, okay, this seller, genius, all he had to do was pay to get the cracks filled and provide proof that it was done and a receipt it was paid for, and he would have sold my buyer a piece of crap house.
Right.
Thank God he didn't do that. Do it. So now my buyer, I said, I don't trust the guy. Send Roy's team out, over 51 G's to fix the house. So here's my recommendation to sellers, right, to buyers. Send your own people in to inspect the work that your home inspection says needs to be done.
It just seems like the right thing to do.
But people don't do it.
And why don't they do it, David?
Because they trust people. You don't trust anybody. Here, Steve, fall back. I'll catch you. I'm not going to catch you. I got a bad back. I had surgery. I don't need to catch you. I'm not catching anybody. But, you know, if you've got mold in the ceiling, right. Okay, here, mold in the roof and the, what's it called, the attic, and a lot of attics have mold, okay? So I heard another story. Okay, here's another great story. Yeah, we had mold in the attic. I'm going to let the seller go out there and check it out, okay? So, fine. Seller comes in, gets two bids. One from a bid with the guy that's going to scrape it and seal it, and another guy that's going to remediate it. Uh-huh. Scrape and seal is $1,500. Remediate's $5,500. Right. You leave it to the seller. What's the seller going to do?
Going to go with $1,500
to block, $1,500. You're moving in with your three kids. Okay, what's going to happen?
You're going to pay the $5,500.
You're going to pay 15 G's 5, 6, 7, 10 years later right. when the mold comes back because right, you right, let the
right.
seller.
Right.
I don't understand. And we work with JC
so
Restoration.
So this is a service you provide because of the affiliates that you have and
team.
The friends that you have, that you're able to get the best people into these situations to make sure you don't step in it.
It's the biggest investment people make in their life.
Stand by one second. Do you have his meds?
I feel like I just had a workout.
Yeah.
I'm perspiring.
If you have his meds, it's time to...
Believe me, if I had his meds, man, I would have given those 20
minutes ago. Old enough to remember
ago.
Wild Kingdom. I'll stay back here while Marlon shoots him with a tranquilizer.
I'm glad
gun.
You're closer to him than I love you, Hockey.
I'm actually doing my Kegel exercises right now.
Good for you.
It's a calming exercise.
Good for you. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank God you're not on Comcast right now.
No, it wouldn't be Comcast. It'd actually be CLTV.
Yeah, pay-per-view.
It is Comcast. Technically, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's bands with the C. I got it close.
WGNDavid.com or 312-751-1333. He'll tell you. Don't believe you can trust him. Call his business and go through the process.
It's a free consultation. This pre-approval is nonsense.
Just call.
I just want an approval.
What's the matter with people?
We'll take care of you.
What's wrong with everybody?
I don't understand. I'm just trying to help people, Steve.
It's WGNDavid.com.
Give everybody a hug.
312-751-1333. Thank you. Go lay down.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is show number 936. We might not be able to get Mike Madigan. But we got the millennials. The millennials are here. You know, since I own and operate a couple of my own millennials, you know, my kids grew up on the front end of the millennials. We spent a lot of time, you know, as old people talking about how the millennials are just sitting around not doing anything.
Well, you referred to, you said, hey, remember that old movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Well, it's an old movie. It's an old
then
movie if
you're
a millennial.
The best part, so they're sitting in studio and you said, this is our future. And I said... It's so bright, I got to wear shades.
And they went, what's the ladies talking about?
No, they know that. They know that song.
No, they don't.
They do.
They just said
it.
That to be nice.
I know they're being sweet to me.
Joining us in studio, let me just do this out of order here. Michael, is it Hennahan? Michael Hanahan from Lyons Township High School, Lindsay Kent from Joliet Catholic, Ellie Guido from Hinsdale Central, and soon at U of I.
Yeah, ILL. We already talked, told her all the places to go.
And
sororities to go to.
Victor, is it Bucciolato?
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, Bucciolato from Hinsdale Central. And the one that we have to watch completely, Jonathan Tatulis.
You're right, because he's Greek.
That's right. Tatulis?
Mm-hmm, perfect.
Yeah, Tatulis from Hinsdale Central. You guys are all friends. You're going to be playing at Ribfest this weekend, but you play a bunch of shows, right? Who's the spokesperson for the band? Correct. Yes, sir. Wait, you're the kid. You're the youngest. How are you the spokesperson? Oh, he's the youngest. Sorry, I'm sorry. I confused the two of you. All right, so how'd you guys look it together?
So we started by, most of us met at the School of Rock in Hinsdale.
Oh.
So we had a similar taste in music, and we decided to start playing a little bit outside. We joined a few Battle of the Bands, and we ended up meeting Lindsay when she opened up for us at a show. We thought she was so good that we just invited her to the group, and the rest was history.
Lindsay is the lead singer. Lindsay, lean into that microphone. Don't be shy now, because you know you're singing. grab that microphone so you can actually we can actually hear you. So School of Rock... isn't this what Mary's stepdaughter does, School of Rock?
Does your daughter? Yeah, she does School of Rock.
Sandberg's
right?
stepdaughter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a good time.
Yes, yeah.
And when these guys said join the band, did you think don't you have to hear them as well?
Well, yeah.
I'm just going to lend your talents to anybody.
Well, no, I opened up for them, so I heard them play, and they were absolutely incredible, so I was super honored to be a part of it.
And let's go through what everybody does. Jonathan, you previously established.
Yes.
Look, Jonathan's got the hair.
Yeah, the rock look.
He's got the backwards Cubs hat.
Yeah.
He's got the look, right?
He sure does.
Yeah, and Jonathan's the only one in the band that can't sing.
Yeah, believe it or not.
He's the drummer.
I'm the drummer. I don't really sing.
Yeah, so why the inspiration for the 80s and 90s music?
Really, it's just like the music I grew up with. And when I was a kid, actually,
when you were a kid,
me too.
I know. I'm relatively
when he was a kid. When he was a kid when in 2007 and 8, it was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. We know.
All right. So when you were a kid,
so when I was a younger kid,
yes.
I actually I used to cry a lot. I was a crybaby.
Yeah,
and
me too. Totally.
The only song that would shut me up was Tom Sawyer by Rush. So that's where the love of classic rock began.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Why would Tom Sawyer shut you up? I would think that would make you cry more.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have no idea.
There's something wrong with you, which is why you're getting into show business.
Yeah, right?
Ellie is the one going off to school. Ellie, what is this band going to do without you?
I mean, we've talked about it. They're really great musicians, and they know what they're doing. They'll get by.
Are you going to chase music as well down there?
I hope to.
Yeah.
I'm studying engineering, but I'm going to keep playing music and hopefully get with some friends who also like to play music down there.
What a great cover to get your parents to continue to pay for your education. Studying engineering while she's in a band.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned the youngest in the bunch here. We actually have a freshman. Where do you go to school?
Hinsdale Central.
At Hinsdale. What did they let you in a band as a as a favor, or do you have actual talent?
They kind of asked me to join. I was really surprised that they would ever ask me to do. But
well, what do you? He's good.
Yes,
he's a god at the keys.
All right, so you're a keyboard guy. You're a keyboard guy. How long have you been playing keyboards?
I've been playing piano for 10 years, and then once I joined.
By the way, 10 years, Dave. He was 4 or 5 when he started.
Right. So right, yeah. Like 2/3 of his life.
Yes,
that would be another way to put it.
So who are you inspired by? Who do you like on keyboards?
I mean, they're a great band for keys anyways, but Queen is one of my all-time favorite bands, and I just love them so much because they're insanely musically
creative. Queen is my era. Dave and I were around in the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to play something from your website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
By the way, this is how bands get found now. Dave, there was a time when I was a disc jockey.
Yeah.
Where a guy we would call a record guy would come into what we would call a radio station. And he would bring what we would refer to as records.
Right.
And then he would try to convince us to play those on the air because those things would represent value. And then kids like the millennials would go, oh, I've got to have that. And they'd go to something called the record store.
Wow.
And they'd go and they'd buy the record. And then the band would get rich, divorced. date the groupies.
Then they'd reunite.
Reunite. Yeah. And then eventually do a reunion tour. That's how it used to work. Now it's YouTube. You know, it's a website, it's whatever. You get heard by being discovered. It's kind of, I don't know how they do it now. It's a needle in a haystack sort of situation. You got to be really good. You got to have Jonathan Tatoulis.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. To be discovered.
But what, where's the record guy now?
The record guy?
When you need him.
Working at Apt. Yeah. It's a different business. Not that's a bad gig. It's a really good gig.
It's a good gig.
First time a band hears their song on the radio, it's a big deal. Here are the Millennials. I mean, come on. How good are they?
Oh, my God. It's great. My favorite music ever.
That's ridiculous.
Can we just listen to them?
Well, we
could. I mean, I like you, but...
I was just watching the clock so we didn't have to pay them a rights fee. Really, really, really good, you guys.
Thank you.
Very cool. Yeah, that's really impressive. Who was playing the power guitar again?
That would be me.
Yeah. Yeah, he was killing it. You're crushing it on a guitar.
Oh my God, these guys are awesome.
I mean, the guitar was so out there, I could barely hear Jonathan on the drum. That's really cool, guys. You must. And it seems like you all like each other. You must have a lot of fun, right?
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, we're pretty much a family. We love each other. And
so you're gonna miss this, Ellie.
Yeah, I really am.
Yeah,
we're gonna miss Ellie a lot.
Yeah,
she brings a lot to the band.
Yeah.
Well, you guys all seem like normal. You probably came from decent families. What happened to the other millennials? You should say hi to your parents. Especially, wasn't it your dad that picked up this auction item so you could come in and exploit all this?
Yeah.
What's your dad's name?
That's Marty Hanahan.
Yeah, Marty, good man. All right, so say hi to everyone I say hi to. Oh, Jonathan, I'm sure you're hitting on a girl, so whatever.
I want to say hi to my mom and dad.
Do they have names or is it just mom and dad?
Angela and Pete, hello. Okay. I'm on the radio. This is crazy.
And? You got brothers and sisters?
And Justin. Can't forget Justin. That's my little brother.
How old's Justin?
He is 13. And 13. He is the complete opposite of me.
So he's like a hardworking student.
Yeah.
He's got a decent haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. Short hair, good student.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Going to turn out to be a scientist.
Yeah.
Maybe come to see you on tour.
Helps me on homework sometimes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
All right, guitar man, who do you want to say hi to?
I just want to say hi to both my parents, Marty Hanahan and Karina Hanahan, and also to my sister Samantha, who's listening in, and my best friend Jeff, who's listening in.
Nice. Well done by you. All right, lead, take the microphone.
I'd like to say hi to my mom and dad, Bill and Jen Kent, and my sister Natalie, and I don't have any friends other than sitting here, so... Hate all the people here.
What do you mean? You don't have any friends?
Well, no, my real friends are sitting here. So.
Oh, I see. Your closest friends.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys you spend the time with.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we had to do a little therapy now. What do you mean you don't have any friends?
Too much time.
You're a beautiful girl, and you're very smart, and you're a great singer.
Thank you.
See, there we go.
Nice.
It's a little cheer up for the day. And now the kid in the band. We should call you Kid, but it should be like Kid with three D's.
All right.
Doing the marketing for the band. Who do you want to say that to?
My mom and dad, Omar and Len, and my School of Rock family that isn't these guys. Mitchell Lee, my pretty much gay boyfriend. He's amazing.
Pretty much.
I don't know how you're pretty much gay, but whatever.
It's like, it's a half thing.
Yeah. All right, okay, it's fun.
It's like a bromance.
Listen, I salute you, whatever your life is,
you
my friend.
You just get so close that you're basically...
I got you. Yeah, suddenly it's a reality show. I don't know what's happening here. Ellie, jump in.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad.
Again, they have names.
Alyssa, Matt, love you guys. Shout out to Mr. Tulis and Marty. They're the best. They help us out so much. And my family. Hi, Phoebe and RJ.
And, you know,
hopefully they're awake by now.
Yeah, so hopefully they are.
Yeah.
they might be asleep.
And Dave, you know this. We grew up in an era where if you weren't playing sports, you didn't necessarily have the outlets that kids have today. But this School of Rock program sounds very cool.
It does. It really does.
And I know it's worked out for, you know, for Sandberg and Catherine and Pat and everybody.
Could I ask the band a question?
It was a probing band question?
Yes.
This goes from Dave's years as a rock reporter.
Well, when I started out Rolling Stone, you've seen the movie Almost Famous.
I did. That was based on Dave's life.
Yeah. So which of you will go solo first?
Yeah. And Yoko. Who's the Yoko in the band?
Who's going to go there?
Yeah, who's going to go solo first?
Well, Lindsay already has her own EP coming out soon. So.
Oh. You got to come back on and plug your new record.
That would be awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll be playing her live stuff later this month, or her original stuff later this month at
another gig.
Another gig.
Which you can see at your website, which again is millennials.band. If you're going out to Ribfest, they're going to be playing Saturday at Ribfest.
Yeah, and they're going to be in Oak Forest on 4th of July for the South Suburbs.
So Naperville on Saturday and Oak Forest on the 4th.
Yeah.
God, you guys ought to have tour jackets. Well, it's great to meet you. Good luck at school.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You got great friends here, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
Jonathan. You're all right. Thanks for being a good sport.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Great to see all you guys. Dude, you're killing it, man. Keep it up.
Yeah, kid.
The kid with 3 D's.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 9:43. We'll get to a blatant plug here in just a second. The President of the United States, an office that's looked to, and at least previously, with great regard and high esteem, has been sullied possibly at an all-new level this morning by President Donald J. Trump. And you don't have to be a woman to feel badly about these tweets. But if you are female, I would think, that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I would think this would hit you a little harder.
This is, I don't want to say it's unacceptable.
It's completely unacceptable.
This is just wrong on every level.
The tiny hand, insecure President of the United States strikes again with these two tweets. And keep in mind the other things he could be doing with his time other than seething over this. And by the way, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. Who was the one? Because I think you look like me. Who was the one who said, you can't elect this guy because the President of the United States gets criticized all the time and he's going to react terribly to it.
You said that.
And he's going to strike out again and again.
Mm-hmm. You said that quite often.
Donald J. Trump. I heard poorly rated Morning Joe. This is Joe Scarborough, the MSNBC morning show. Morning Joe speaks badly of me. In parentheses, don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika Brzezinski, daughter of Dr. Brzezinski, the former, was he Secretary of State to Jimmy Carter?
Yes.
How come low IQ crazy Mika, along with Psycho Joe, came to Mar-a-Lago 3 nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
The number.
There's so many. There's so many
wrongs.
So many wrongs on every level with this.
It's disgusting, first of all, because say, okay, where do you even begin with
this?
What
kind of grown man comments on a woman's facelift?
Say she had a facelift. So what?
I mean, yeah. Well, exactly. So what? But you're the you're the President of the United States. So any of this ought to be beneath you. You want to blow off steam? You know, yell in your own office,
right?
B, as a grown man. 71-year-old man now.
Right.
A 71-year-old man, and you're so hurt. Your feelings are so, you're so insecure. You're so damaged. You got to lash out and say Mika Brzezinski's facelift was bleeding. Oh, and by the way, you want points because you didn't let her into Mar-a-Lago? What are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable. It's sick on so many levels. It's insulting.
The President of the United States.
It's absolutely insulting.
By the way, these tweets are being retweeted about once a second. And how often have you heard the president refer to his social media followers, the number of followers he has?
Yeah.
And there are people are following.
Yeah.
People are clicking.
But here's the thing. People can also retweet this to make sure people see this.
Yeah.
Because the faster this guy can be cashiered, the better. The faster we can move on. Practicing President Pence. I'm here to tell you it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because along with all the other damage he's causing, you cannot have this kind of mental instability in the most powerful job in the world.
Does he think, I mean, obviously he thinks he's insulting her by talking about her bleeding from a cosmetic procedure.
That's outrageous.
That's awful on every single level.
And I don't know if Melania is culpable or a hostage, because the wife in this picture, what role is she playing too?
I want to know how anyone can read this and justify that and say that that's okay.
There's no justification for that. You wouldn't accept that from a stranger. You wouldn't accept that from a friend. If anyone did that, you would be outraged, whoever they are.
Figure, what if somebody said that about your daughter your wife or your daughter or daughter-in-law?
But see, that's the thing. I'm offended for women. No, I'm offended for everybody. But I don't understand women who wouldn't be just feel like they all got punched by this idiot.
It's completely offensive. Putting all politics
aside.
I've
never used that term, but the man is an idiot. And for people to go, you don't respect the presidency? Oh, no, no. I respect the president's office, and I respect it enough that there needs to be a change. It's an outrageous thing for this guy to do.
Yep.
And it's a window into his soul, if in fact he has one. 947. What a child. Unbelievable. 947. Our friend, I think, is on the phone. But I'd like a little separation for this. Quick break. We're back next with our friend, I think, who's on the phone on 720 WGN. That's funny.
Awesome.
That's funny.
You're okay, right?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm all right. Yeah, I just thought that maybe Lourdes and I had something that we don't have, clearly.
No, you do. She's super busy.
Did she forget to call in for the segment?
No.
Did we have to call her and remind her?
She's on the line.
Because here's how it went down. She was going to be here live. And by the way, she's been big time in this ever since she started doing the 4 o'clock show. And then after not coming in live, I believe we had to track her down because she forgot she was doing this segment.
She's working. It's so busy today at the TV station. Mm-hmm. Super busy.
From the 4 o'clock WGN News, the highly rated new 4 o'clock WGN News, here's Lourdes Duarte.
How are you? I miss you.
Do you?
I do. I am up early this morning. I had to come in to get some work done, which is why I couldn't be there. Mm-hmm. But I am going to stop by and give you a big hug and a kiss. I'm actually looking at a picture right now of the two of us together a couple years ago when Ms. Darlis got the award from the Better Business Bureau. And we have a lovely picture together, so I stare at it often.
Yeah. I feel like this is one of those things where you bump into an ex on the street and you go, yeah, you look nice. Yeah, you look nice. You seeing anybody?
No,
she texted yesterday and said, I miss my Cochran.
Were you on with Eric and Kathy this morning?
Me? No.
Mm. Steve Harvey?
No, nothing.
Were you doing traffic on BBM?
I only have eyes for you.
Well, listen, you know what a fan I... First off, yeah, I've been chasing Lourdes forever. But first off, she's doing a great job at 4 o'clock. And the newscast is, newscast is fun. Let's be honest. Sapels has got 2 weeks tops before he's done.
No.
And Lourdes is killing it at 4 o'clock.
She's awesome.
She's holding up the chump sitting next to her. And just doing a phenomenal job. And that 4 o'clock show is a great idea. And it's a terrific newscast.
Great ratings. They're doing awesome.
But we haven't heard from Lourdes since she started doing the show. As a matter of fact, I believe the last contact we had with Lourdes was when I texted her. I said, I couldn't be happier. You're going to be so great.
That's funny because she texts me and Dave.
She texts you all the time, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
We
sure.
talk to her all the time.
Yeah.
I wake them up in the morning so that they can get into work.
And then with lunch the other day was awesome, you guys.
It was great. So nice, al fresco.
I can't blame you. I probably did the same thing if I were you. No, the show is great. Are you having fun?
I am having fun. Ben is great. Have you met Ben before? I don't know if you have.
I'm not familiar with Ben. No,
Ben Bradley.
No, never heard of him.
I've got the Ben eliminating technology on my TV. No, Ben Bradley's great. Obviously, had a long run at Channel 7, and you guys are great together. I mean, doesn't have the chemistry that you and I clearly have.
No. That'll never happen. That's once in a lifetime, Cochran.
So, but then a great job in sports and weather as well.
That's right. That's right. It's a fun group. It's a really fun group. We maybe have a little too much fun on the 4 o'clock, which our boss may not be too happy about, but we're enjoying it.
By the way, your investigative unit is killing it too, breaking the story about the Samaje Crosby investigation. So the investigative unit is just it's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's we actually just got back from the Investigative Reporters and Editors Convention. I know, nerds, but we've got a bunch of stories that we're working on.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. Wait. There's a convention?
There's a convention.
Well, what do y'all sneak into each other's rooms and look at their stuff? What is that like?
Pretty much. They break us up into sessions, and we look at everybody else's work, and then we critique it, and we steal ideas is what we do. We share ideas.
Can you see the investigative convention? Like you're talking to somebody, and suddenly one of the people are missing, and they're in your room with the Dave Savini blue light. Right.
Or Gowdy. Or Chuck Gowdy's, Chuck Gowdy's in Lourdes' room.
Chuck Gowdy was there. Yeah.
That does not sound... Thing. I got to say, the investigative convention does not sound like a fun bunch to me.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. But I'm actually working on something that I'm going to call you at the end of the summer because I do want to promote it a little bit, and I'm hoping you guys will help. It's a young man. He's 17 years old. He was born with a cleft palate here in Chicago, has just had his last surgery to fix the abnormalities, and so he's thinking that by the end of the summer, he's going to be looking the way he wants to look. He's going to start his senior year in high school good and happy. And so I've been following for the last month or so, and I'm going to tell his story at the end of the summer.
So that'd be great if he could come in.
Yeah. He's a great kid. Oh, my gosh. He's such a great kid.
I bet he'd actually come in. I bet he'd come in. You know,
would. Maybe I'll bring him in. Maybe.
No, I was thinking he could come in, and then when you cancel that morning, you could call in.
That is not true. I'm gonna surprise you, Cochran.
She is. She's working.
I'm gonna drop in one day. And there I'll be, and I'll make you smile. You'll be happy.
Listen, you know I love you, and I'm thrilled for your success, and I really am. And just more Lourdes is better TV. It's better. Better. Period.
Go on.
Keep going.
And on.
All right. I know you have other shows to do.
All right, guys.
Here's a hug. We'll talk to you later. That's Lourdes.
See you, Lourdes.
We're still broken up. No, we're still broken up. Hey, when you guys have lunch together, say hi for me.
Oh, we always do.
We were kidding.
It's 9:56. Bill and Wendy are next on 720 WGN.